Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the Old Testament reading today, this great story of Ezekiel in the middle of a valley of dry bones. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God. We pray, Lord, you promise that when your Word is proclaimed, it will accomplish what you desire. It will not return to you empty. So we always pray that as we hear the Word, it would accomplish in us what you desire. Give us faith. Give us understanding. Work in us repentance. Give us renewed zeal in our mission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, fill in the blank. The world is blank. Well, there are many, many adjectives that one could put in there, words one could put in there. The world is big. The world is populated. The world is evil. The world is lost. The world is troubled. All those might be words we put in there. From Ezekiel 37, we might say this about the world. The world in general is a valley of dry bones. Consider that for the world. Our world of 7 billion plus people across all these continents is basically a valley of dry bones. Of people that are literally dead. They're in the grave. There's many of them. Millions and billions of them. And then there are people walking around that are dead. Because they don't know God. They're dead in unbelief. They don't believe in the true Lord. They don't know the Lord. Even though they may walk around and have a big car, three cars, and a big, big home, and have a great job, a smile on their face, they are dead. They're skeletons in a valley because they don't have faith. The world is a valley of dry bones. And what does our God do about it? Does God care? Well, our God amazingly calls one man, this little humble man Ezekiel, not five men, but one man he calls to minister to a valley of dry bones. I want to use Ezekiel as an example today. May we be an Ezekiel in our valley of dry bones, our world, our own little place in this world that we all have. May you and I be little Ezekiels. Let's talk about his mission. Ezekiel must be overwhelmed. He's in a valley of skeletons. Who wants to be there? Many of us don't even want to walk around in a cemetery because it's a little eerie. The bones are there. Dead people all over the place. He's put right in the middle of them. What's he called to do? And what are we called to do in our valley of bones? Four things about our mission. Ezekiel 37 is a great mission text. It's an evangelism text of why we are here. Why Ezekiel was here. Four things about mission. First of all, we learn that our mission in this world of dry bones must be very, very, very personal. We need to be up close and personal with unbelievers, with the dead. We cannot minister far away in our nice, safe house as we watch TV. We must be in the world if we're going to save anybody. And raise the dead to faith. Notice what the Spirit does. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me. It's as if Ezekiel doesn't want to go. None of us really want to go. We like to be in a nice, safe, comfortable place. But he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around them. Personal. He doesn't bring Ezekiel and put him up on a mountain and say, look at all those dry bones down there. How sad. He doesn't put him on the edge of the valley and he's barely around any bones. He puts him right in the middle of the valley. There's bones all over the place. And then the Spirit leads him around to look at the bones. It's like he's like a tourist walking around all these bones. Is that to say, every skeleton matters to me? Every dead person matters. Every unbeliever matters. Look at all of them, Ezekiel. Look at all the bones. Get up close and personal. I put you right in the middle. I walk you around. They all matter. They all count. I want them all saved. And so we Christians are not of the world. but how we are ever supposed to be in the world. How many of you really have non-Christian friends? I wonder if you really know a lot of, you have friends that are non-Christian. That's a problem right there. Many of us, all of our friends are Christian, which is great, but you're here for the non-Christian as much as you are for the Christian, to support him or her. Be in the world, walk with the non-Christian, talk with them, befriend them, rub shoulders with them, and recognize their real problem. And the real problem is they're dead. It's a walking skeleton if they don't know Jesus Christ, and they're very, very dry. They're dried up in here and very, very dry. You know, I remember my kids played soccer, and when they were little, you guys have all been to a soccer game when kids are little. They're 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. Wherever the ball is, that's where the kids are. And you have a clump of kids here. The ball moves over here. The clump of kids move over here. The clump of kids move over here. And they don't spread out at all, do they? They all want to kick the ball. And so as parents, what are you yelling? Spread out. You're a team. Spread out. You'll do better if you spread out and pass the ball. Don't all clump together. But they like to clump together. And we Christians like to clump together. It's not bad. We do that in worship. It's a good thing to come together for prayer and support, be with each other. But how we have to spread out into our own worlds and be a witness for Jesus. You know, someone compared the church to manure. Now, there's your compliment for today. What did the pastor call me? Call me manure. But he said, when the church is piled up, we stink. When we spread out, we fertilize the world. Too often we're just with each other, our own little clique of Christians, and we stink. And the world says, oh, you think you're better than us. You're a bunch of hypocrites. We must spread out into our valley of dry bones and be a witness. It's personal. Up close and personal, getting to know unbelievers. Secondly, talking about dry, I have a dry throat today. I think it's allergies. Our mission is pity. Our mission begins with pity in the heart for the dead bones. Compassion, love, that we care. The Spirit leads Ezekiel around all the skeletons, and he's up close and personal, not so that Ezekiel gloats, well, I'm so glad I'm not dead. He's not there to judge them. Had all these bones get to be so dead? And why are these more dry than these are? Who cares? They're all dead. He's not there to condemn them for being dead. Judge them, gloat. He's not there to pat himself on the back. I'm so glad I'm not like them. The Spirit is trying to move in him, elicit in him compassion, pity. Do you care, Ezekiel, about these dead bones? He asked the question, can these bones live, Ezekiel? I want them to live. Do you want them to live? Or do you want to remain dead? Do you care, Ezekiel? God leads him around to move in him pity. It's like Jesus in the gospel lesson when he finds out Lazarus is dead, he's deeply moved. And elsewhere in that text, we read Jesus wept. He's moved by death. He wants to do something about it. Pity. And so as we live among the unbelieving world, we're not here to gloat. I'm better than you. I'm sure glad I know Jesus, and ha ha, you don't. We're not here to judge them, condemn them, pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm better than you. But we may be moved with pity for their lost condition. And see right through all the money they may have and all the fun they may have and the great job they may have. See all through that and see a skeleton. A person who's dead to God and doesn't really have any hope or any real joy. Pity, compassion. The Spirit's trying to move that in Ezekiel. Care like God cares. Did you sign the BBB petition? I guess that died out, didn't it, Pat? Bring Bruce back. How many thousand signed that cotton picking thing? 38,000? Maybe one of you did it, two of you did it. Bring Bruce back. The passion of Tennessee fans to bring the old coach back. I say we all sign a BDB petition. Bring the dead back. Bring all the dead back. Bring the unbelievers back to God, that they be, that they live and be in God's house and know the joy of Christ that we have. Are you ready to sign that petition, church? We don't have to sign a petition. Our petition is to pray. We pray to our Father and pray to our Father, God, save the lost, raise up the valley of dry bones, and use me as you use Ezekiel. Use little old me to be a witness that you bring back the dead, you bring back the lost into your house. The BDB petition, bring the dead back. Let's be on our knees in prayer for the lost. Personal, it's pity. And then they get to the meat of our mission, which is really the emphasis of the text. Our mission above all is to preach and to preach and to preach and to teach and to preach and to teach the word of God to dry bones. Ezekiel probably thought God was a bit nuts. I'm supposed to talk to these dead skeletons? Talk to them? Have you ever went out in the cemetery and seen someone talking to a grave? You might if it's a loved one and it's helpful. It's okay. But talking to dead people? That's our job, to preach and preach and preach and teach the word of God to all the spiritually that they may live. If Ezekiel only walked around the skeletons and he touched some of them and he looked at them and he counted them and maybe he cried over them, if that's all he did, they would still be dead. He had to preach the word of God. That's what the Spirit tells me. Speak the word of God, Ezekiel, and that very word will bring them to life. That's your job, to speak to this valley. Even though it's hopeless and helpless, speak to the valley. And so we can live among unbelievers and befriend them and talk to them and walk with them and go eat dinner with them, and that's all good to do. But if we never open the mouth and speak about Jesus, they're probably going to remain a skeleton and be dead. And we were right there beside them. The Christian's job in the end, there are many things we do, but we open this mouth and we confess Christ. And we speak of Christ. And we tell the word of God to people, that that word of God may give life. The text is so simple, so clear. This is one of the most obvious texts, clear texts on the mission of the church. It is to proclaim the word of God. The word of God will do it. Do we trust the word of God to raise the dead? Churches try games and gimmicks, this strategy, that strategy. Try everything to try to save somebody. Just teach and preach the word of God. What about that? And people go forth and teach and preach the word of God. Teach it to your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor. We teach it in Sunday school, in Bible class, in church, at our day school. Teach and preach the word of God, the word of Christ. It works. This whole valley is raised into a vast army. And we note here how the word of God is sufficient for all of salvation. Nothing's added to God's word here. You have the rattling of the bones, and then sinews and flesh come over the bones, and then breath comes into the people. It's all by the power of the spoken word by Ezekiel. The word of God gives life and life to the full. The word of God is not a little bit of advice that God gives and then you need to get advice over here and advice over here to help you. The word of God doesn't just give us some temporal help for a little while and it might help us here, but it can't help over here. The word of God gives us everything, from being dead bones to being resurrected people in heaven. It's all by the power of God's word. And so preach it and teach it. Jesus and him crucified. We have a little service on Wednesday afternoons with daycare kids in our school. We sing some songs and I share a Bible verse with them and talk about it for a little bit. About 40, 50 kids are back there and a few parents come too. And during Lent, I always teach a Bible verse. And during Lent, we've had the same Bible verse now for 3 or 4 weeks. And I came into the class this past Wednesday and I asked the kids, well, what is our Bible verse in Lent? And one little three-year-old boy, remember this, Carrie? A three-year-old boy, he stood up. They're usually sitting down. He stood up, real big, intense eyes, and he said, "We preach Christ crucified." And that was our verse. We preach Christ crucified. Say it with me. We preach Christ crucified. And he was so intense, we were going to send him out to the neighborhood, weren't we? That's what we preach. Jesus, the cross, the forgiveness of sins. Your neighbor needs to hear he's forgiven. You need to hear it too. That he or she is reconciled to God by a cross. That God's at peace with him or her. God's not angry. God loves you. He forgives you. Your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, your enemy needs to hear that. We preach Christ crucified, intensity, zeal. May the Spirit give it. And then last of all, our mission is placing people in the church. We don't leave the army out in the valley. They're not left in the valley. The Spirit says, I will bring you to a land. And in that land, there will be blessing. There'll be food and water and milk and honey to take care of the army. And that land is the church. So we ever take the Word of God out to the world. And then we bring people to the church. For this is where the army is fed. This is an army that Ezekiel sees. An army has to fight. An army has tough work. And so when we become a Christian, we have tough work against the devil, against sin. We're here to fight for the Lord. An army needs help. Food, water, protection, guidance, support. And that's the church. We place people here in the church that they have the food of God's word and sacrament, the water of absolution. They have support, prayer of other Christians. We're here for you. We support you. Now go out and fight the good fight of faith and tell your neighbor. Ezekiel doesn't leave them out in the valley. They're come to a new land, and that new land is the Christian church. And we welcome them and love them and bring them into our church. And that's the full mission of the church. You know, I read a startling statistic about lottery winners. Do you know what percentage of lottery winners blow all their money within 5 years? Whether they make $500 million through the lottery or $1 million, what percentage of them blow it all within 5 years? 70%. And what do you want to say to such people? Are you foolish or what? You blew all that in 5 years? 70% of you? You lost it all in 5 years? They needed someone to be beside them to say, what are you doing? Why are you throwing away your money? And so we have the riches of Christ, the true riches. People are born again, born into the church. They have the riches of Christ. And yet we all know people have thrown it away. People don't come anymore. It's if they've thrown the riches away. They've blown it all. Don't want church. Don't want Christ. We, the church, must be there and say, what are you doing? Don't blow it all. Don't blow your faith. Don't blow the riches and treasures of Christ. What are you doing? And bring them back and pray for them. Come back. Don't become a dead skeleton again. Remain alive in Christ. That's why we have a church. Food of the Word, water absolution, support, prayer, keep people close to Christ. So what's the world to you? May we see the world maybe in a different way. The world is a valley of dry bones, and we are Ezekiel in the midst of our valley of unbelievers. We have a mission. It's personal. It's pity. It's preaching. It's placing people in the church. As God used Ezekiel, may he use you and I. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's confess our faith, the words of the night.